This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, you know, it's all about how you say things in life, and sometimes things come out a certain way and people hear them and they go, did you just say what I think you said? Today that kind of happened at training camp. Bozeman asked me about this all day. We're going to let you hear and bring you in on the story a little bit later on as part of Yeah Man, No Man. But a funny little story happened today as I was talking with somebody there at training camp, and Bo was like, what did you just say? So, listen, you be the judge. You got to put it in context, and I hope he does. I hope he doesn't misrepresent me, Mike, today with this whole trying to explain this story about what I said to someone how it was misrepresented.
Yeah, well, you were talking about this earlier. I get it now. We've got a good friend who's a professional in the medical business, and he's got healing hands. And we'll talk about it a little bit later.
Great phrase.
The conversation today while we were watching practice in the rain kind of got a little crazy with the double entendre and unintentionally kind of got sideways. So stay tuned for that coming up at the 4.
Hey, man, Ricardo Allen joined our midday show with Randy and Andy and Randy. And we're going to let you hear what Ricardo Allen had to say coming up a little bit later on as well. He's a guy coming back from injury. It seems like... just seems like a lot of guys are coming back from injury.
Right.
Keanu Neal spoke today. Rico Allen joined our midday show. But both of those guys are big pieces in that secondary. And, you know, you said you were talking to the various guys at camp today.
Right.
Most people think, all right, again, our secondary is going to be not just good, very good. It's the Isaiah Oliver thrown into the starting lineup thing that people are questioning. But I don't think you can question now, you know, a healthy Ricardo Allen, a healthy Keanu Neal, Trufant, and throwing KZ in there in the nickel, a ball hawk and a playmaker, that the secondary, as I said, I think it's one of our strengths, to be honest with you.
Right.
The defensive line, and I know we just added, you know, Alan Bailey, but the defensive line, to me, as a whole, is the area where I need to see improvement. Not necessarily the secondary, but we were talking about that with some people today as well.
Yeah, man, the secondary with Isaiah Oliver, how quickly does he adapt? How quickly does he, you know, figure out what's going on? Because there was a learning curve. The A.J. Green play last year against the Bengals, which there was an angle where he was a little shallow, and that turns out to be the game-winning score, and we're all losing our minds. And maybe that was that part of the compass being off that Dan Quinn talks about with Marquand Manuel. It happened so quickly when the injuries just kind of all piled up on top of it another. But, yeah, man, he's going to have to be better. And, you know, a guy that we talked about last year, Devontae KZ, everybody loves this guy. We saw Sherrod Neesman get a pick today off of a shop. And then there was also a Sheffield, the young man from Ohio State, blazing fast. And once he figures out where he's supposed to be, that could be a heck of a, you know, we talked about this, I guess it was Pete Prisco said, yeah, the guy's got tremendous speed once he understands what they need him to do in this defense.
So I think this is an area we're going to see a lot, you know, of conversation about, but I think it's one of our strengths. We will see as we get the season underway. It's Dukes and Bell, guys, live inside of the Thirsty Turtle. It is actually inside of Stars and Strikes here in Beaufort, inviting you out. Come on out. You can Google it. You can Waze it. But it's right here off of Satellite. You guys can't miss it. Exit 4. And we just had a gentleman come out. Thank you, sir, for coming out and having a Hey Man L right here.
He's a good man right there, buddy boy.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, bro.
Appreciate that. We got a lot of other NFL stories to get to. Let's get to our NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Mike, if I told you Adrian Peterson was in debt, would you believe it?
Wow.
Adrian Peterson, guys, made about $100 million in salary. Millions more in endorsements. And now, apparently, he's in financial woes or having financial woes. According to his attorneys, Mike, they say his current financial situation is being misreported, that he trusted the wrong people who ripped him off during his career. The Athletic put out a report that Peterson is being sued in Pennsylvania for failing to pay back $5.2 million in a loan. And then there's two separate matters. Judges ordered Peterson to pay $2.4 million to one creditor, $600,000 to another. I'm just going to put it out there. How does Adrian Peterson, who was the highest paid running back in the NFL at one point, I think it was $14 million or $15 million, mm-hmm. and we were all like, whoa, it set the market. And then all of a sudden we all said, nobody's going to see that money again. And really no one has at that position. What's going on? Like, Adrian Peterson, what are you doing with your money? Now, again, if you trusted the wrong financial folks and they ripped you off, that's one thing, and that's what's being reported by his attorneys. But, Mike, you see this where he is in debt for millions upon millions of dollars.
You know, it's something I've always joked around about it whenever I see these stories, and you go, whoa, and you go, how did that happen? Well, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I could be that guy. And I'm not being a Weisenheimer. I mean, I really could be that guy. I would buy houses. I would buy cars. I would travel. I would spend like
you would overextend,
like the proverbial drunken sailor. That's the way I'd go on shore leave.
Yeah.
But so I mean, I can't call him out. But I mean, it's like it's almost like you've got to have good people around you. And this is something. Remember, we were out in Vegas and Jay-Z and Roc Nation. There
Jay-Z.
Was that what they were putting together?
It was.
And amongst the services they were trying to offer, they tipped their toe in the water with boxing. Really didn't get a lot of traction. But they do have sports stars in all their major sports. When it comes to football, they were talking about how these guys have no advice. They're getting, if they get somebody in their ear who could be a family member, you know, or worse, you know, these are the guys who just rob them blind. So one of the things that Jay-Z's people were doing, his agents were trying to set up real solid financial planning, trying to explain these guys how a trust works. Let's set a trust up for you since basically you're an idiot and you can't be trusted with the money. And then, you know, when you get to 45 or 60, this money will be there for you. But nobody wants to think about that when you're 24 and you're king of the world.
Nah, you said it. Listen. Who am I or who is anyone to tell somebody to how they're going to spend their money? But once you spend, let's just say $10 million,
right.
Okay? And most of us can't even fathom that. You spend $1,000 in a weekend, you lose your mind, all right? So, or in a month, for that matter. When you get to that point, you have to have somebody in your corner go, that's enough. You've got everything you want. Chill, right?
But how many people have a guy or a girl in their life to say no?
No. And I mean, that's it.
You and I, and I've been living here now 22 years, and
no.
Allen Iverson lives here in Metro Atlanta, spent a lot of time here. We'd see Allen Iverson at the Palm with all his guys. You know, that's cool. I mean, look, if I had money, I'd take care of my crew. I'd have my guys, all my friends fly in from around the country. But every night? And you're staying, you got six guys in a hotel room. You got a house like 10 miles away. I mean, your money is going, I mean, like a fart in the wind.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, this makes no sense. You know, I mean, there's some things out there where you just got to go, you know what, you're just an idiot. It doesn't make any sense what you're doing
now. I can't speak for you. I will say that I think your life is like this in this way. And we're talking about Adrian Peterson, who apparently has millions of dollars in debt. Some other NFL stories we'll get to, including one quarterback calling it quit and going to be an analyst, which is interesting.
Hmm.
But it's yin and yang for me. I'm a free spender, and I know being around you, you are as well. And
right.
It's part of why I think we've bonded over the years.
Right.
We are two guys, all right, just speaking about us, that if we go out to eat or we go drink or whatever we're doing, having a good time, Mike and I never be and moan about who's going to pick up the bill or how things are going to get paid for.
Right.
We just do it, and we have a good time. But to that, I'm also a free spender in a sense, Mike, that, you know, if I want something, I go get it.
Right.
And that's where the yin and yang comes in. And my wife is always like,
nope, you don't need it. Nope. Why are you getting that?
And so I always have that in my head, even though I'm going, I want to go get that. You need somebody to tell you these things. And whether it's your mom or your dad or your boys, but when you don't have that, I just got to tell you, and I've seen, just like you, a ton of guys who've had plenty of money, and then you look up, and 10 years later, you're going,
you spent how much?
Well, I mean, again, that's why you got to have a minister of finance. You know, as you just said, I've got a wife who's the brains of the operation. Normally, she signs off about 90% of my hijinks, but there's certainly some, it's, what do we call it in radio? The Gumby and Pokey theory. For all the hijinks that Gumby wants to get into, you have to have Pokey
you
to
do.
Be the voice. We better not do that,
can't
Gumby.
Do that.
Hey, man, speaking of money, he's not going to see his. The Cowboys move on from Allen Hurns at wide receiver. Now, is this a preemptive move to save money for Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott's contract or both?
Maybe. All right, so this is what I know. And I said this yesterday or maybe 2 days ago on the program, and we hope you listen every day. There's no reason to give Zeke a deal right now. Yes, he's whining. He's got 2 years left. He's got this year, and they've already picked up his fifth-year option. All right? So I think it's for Dak. I think that ultimately a lot of Cowboy fans are saying they got to spend this money because Dak has shown that he can play, blah, 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 and I'm not a true believer in that.
But I think, Mike, they are saving money with Hearns to pay ultimately Dak. Any little bit can help. And if you're going to pay him upwards of the going rate,
right?
Good God, I don't understand that. Good God, don't do it.
Good God, Rambo, get out of there.
Don't do it, man. If you're going to do that, then you need this money. But the Zeke thing, and here's where Bo and I were kind of going back and forth. Is Zeke their best player?
Yes.
Yes.
But you don't have to pay him right now. And in the NFL, you don't pay guys until you have to pay him.
He's in his fourth year, guys, and then he's got the fifth year of the option. That was negotiated to be a $9 million bump. That's kind of like what Vic Beasley. Defensive ends get more than running backs. I know that we've heard running backs, and Melvin Gordon's the latest to pop off and say, we're devalued. I go, well, you should learn to catch the ball. What do you want? Well, he does, actually. That's what makes him so special with the Chargers.
You know what? That's cold.
But no, it's true, though. He's like a Roger Craig for them. He catches his bigger plays sometimes are in the air than on the ground. But either way, he's coming up with over 1,300 yards, but it's true both running and catching.
Here's the difference between Melvin Gordon and Zeke. Zeke's, first of all, more valuable. Zeke missed six games. The Cowboys fell apart.
Right.
Melvin Gordon missed four last year. They went 4-0 without him.
Right. And you got Phillip Rivers. You got a great defense.
It's a completely different deal. And I like Melvin Gordon a lot. And I might draft him in my fantasy league if he's available. But, yeah, man, that money's going to be used for one or two guys.
But here's the thing also. If you're the Cowboys, worst case scenario, if you really found yourself in a bind, not that you'd want to, you'd always franchise him in 2021.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah, you said it twice. I mean, you got two more years to worry about Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke, go sit down somewhere and stop, you know, groping women at parades and whatnot, all right?
But this goes back to why they came and dropped the hammer on him, even though that might not have been right compared to how Tyreek Hill and other players have had to deal with things, because he just keeps screwing up. And Jerry Jones has, let's be honest, a rather frosty relationship with the commish, which equals what you saw in that suspension 2 years ago.
Zeke, 300 carries, 1,500 yards, six touchdowns in 2018, 77 receptions.
He's the workhorse.
He's the best player.
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't pay either one of these guys.
Nine total touchdowns.
Yeah, and if Dak gets his feelings hurt, well, by the way, you know, now it's going to be up to Randall Cobb and Amari Cooper. Because Hearns is gone. They cut Hearns today, by the way, Dallas did, to make room, as Carl just said, presumably for Dak, if you're going to go chronologically with these deals. But when you look at their depth chart with the Cowboys, is that a scary proposition when you play the Cowboys? You got Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Randall Cobb, Tavon Austin. That's your wide receiver core, your four.
Yeah, listen, is it better than what it was last year? I do think
the return
it is.
Of Jason Witten on a pitch count.
Yeah, because now Witten opens up the middle of the field for you, and you gotta defend him. But you know what, Mike? It still gets back to the quarterback. He's got to make plays vertically down the field. Listen, I like Dak Prescott. He's yet to throw 25 touchdowns in this league, guys. He's not a $30 or $28 million quarterback. I'm sorry, and I know guys are like, well, yeah, but he won a division. Who cares? He has not been able to put this team on his back. Look at his body of work the last few years. Go look at Russell Wilson. It's a big difference between what Russell does without weapons and without things on the field and what he does. So, and he may have the best running back in the league. So I'm not completely sold on that. I would wait, as you like to say, let him sing for his supper. Right,
right on, man.
All right, man, NFL Blitz segment here on Dukes and Bell. Coming up, a conversation with Darren Eales in about 10 minutes. Hey, Jaren Reed, you see this? Suspended for six games.
How crazy is this? Tyreek Hill gets nothing, not even two. And Jaren Reed, and this goes back, right? There's a bit of time and a little water under the bridge involving this suspension.
Yeah, the NFL is getting out of the business, apparently, of policing the private lives of players. And this is kind of what we talked about. Not arrested or charged with crime. So the NFL pulled itself back in with a six-game suspension imposed on Seattle defensive lineman. His name's Jaren. That's J-A-R-R-A-N, Jaren Reed, if you don't know who we're talking about. But, yes, this just simply talks about the disparity. How do you find facts to suspend a guy like this of something that happened 2 years ago? And then you don't do anything about the Tyreek Hill situation that's right in your face.
ProFootballTalk.com says, per a source with the knowledge of this case, the alleged victim in Jaren Reed's case did indeed cooperate. If she had refused to, it would have become much more difficult for the league to do anything. Because if you saw in the Tyreek Hill situation, the league has no power, obviously, to subpoena anybody. And if the lady friend, the baby's mama, is not going to speak as she did in Tyreek Hill's case, I guess it took some of the air out of their balloon. But it is kind of crazy. Zeke gets six games. He didn't go to get charged with anything. Tyreek Hill doesn't get charged with anything, but you got the optics. You could argue a lot worse. He skates. And now this guy, Jaren Reed, who nobody knows anything about, he's going to get popped for six games.
Yeah, and by the way, there was an article by A.J. Perez of USA Today that said the NFL was limited in their investigation When it comes to Tyreek Hill, Perez reports that prosecutors in Kansas relied on an exception to the state's open records law to deny the league's request for information relating to the case that explored whether or not Hill, basically hit his son and there was child abuse. So now we're hearing the NFL investigated, but they were limited in what they could find out and get into, which is another reason why they chose not to suspend him.
And you and I talked a lot last week about the audio tape, and again, how it was recorded, and that's that. You don't need anything, quite honestly, Carl, to be proven in a court of law. Basically, if anything, I think the NFL would be more worried about the court of public opinion based on how they base their suspensions. But either way, Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs, and I asked you this question today at practice, is that because everybody's all excited for their fantasy team? I don't know. It's unbelievable, the lack of consistency. Consistency at the bare minimum with the way these suspensions are doled out.
Hey, man, last but not least, butt fumble. Mark Sanchez retiring after 10 years. He is joining ESPN as a college football analyst, Mike. So he's going to be part of the studio broadcast on Saturdays. He is also going to be, I guess, on set for appearances on College Football Live and Get Up, which I say get up and go to sleep. But Sanchez is going to be a part of this, guys. What do you think? Mark Sanchez, quarterback from USC, remember 05 to 08. Some people thought he came out a year earlier than he should have.
Right. I know Pete Carroll thought that.
He was the Rose Bowl MVP in the 08 season. Trojans win over Penn State.
But he did win. Got to go to the playoffs, win a couple games for the Jets because that defense was so loaded for Rex Ryan back then.
It really was. So he spent his first five seasons in New York, helped the Jets get to two AFC championship game appearances. We'll see how good he is when it comes to breaking things down, man.
I mean, right now, Tony Romo kind of is the gold standard. He's gotten so good that even Peyton takes shots at him.
Hey, man, join 92.9 The Game this Friday night at 9 at Hoyle's Kitchen and Bar off of Roswell Road, right there in Marietta, for Atlanta United versus LAFC. It's the watch party. Hoyle's Kitchen and Bar, games, good times, and good food. Speaking of Atlanta United, Darren Eels next on Dukes and Bell.
It's time for the Darren Eels Report, presented by Aaron's.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, up here in Buford hanging out. And one of our favorite spots is called the Thirsty Turtle, inside of Stars and Strikes. We'll be out here until 7. And, of course, we'll be back out here tomorrow and Thursday as well as open practices continue. And the weather's apparently supposed to be a little bit better tomorrow for those fans who came out today out here in the rain.
Right.
Right now, though, let's talk to Darren Eels, Mike. And Darren's always presented by Aaron's, perfect for your budget and style with top-name brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Darren Eels, president of our Atlanta United. And, Darren, Mike and I were both at the match on Sunday. It was amazing to see, you know, Pitty come in and kind of take this match over. And we've had a lot of discussion about Pitty Martinez up to this point. But as I told Mike, you know, this was, I think, the guy that we were been waiting to kind of see. He's had some moments and some plays, there's no doubt. But I thought he really just came in and took this last match over against DC United.
Yeah, afternoon, chaps. Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? I mean, the towering header for the first, which you don't expect from Pitty. But, you know, he showed a great sort of urgency to get in the box, and that was just what we needed. And actually, I was really impressed with the second goal because he actually shrugged his man off to create the space to then play the beautiful ball through to Joseph. And, look, it was a cracking finish from Joseph. And, you know, I'm glad he got that one as well because he's obviously, you know, be disappointed with the penalty miss, so it was nice for him to get that goal and to keep his scoring streak going.
It was a great game. We talked about, you know, how, you know, tough it is. You know, even when they weren't that good a couple of years ago, Darren, we've always struggled with DC United. It's like a bunch of redwoods, you know, in front of that goal. And to see Joe and Nagbe, too, because he and Hyndman, and they were kind of trying to get the passes connected, and Nagbe slipped a few times, but he stuck with it. And DeBoer stuck with Nagbe, too. And the pass to Pitty, the service was amazing.
Yeah, wasn't it? It was a great ball. The way he got to the byline and just held it up there. And like I said, it was, still needed Pitty to attack the box and to, you know, make sure that he put it away. But he did a great job. And I thought the spacing of the team throughout the game was good. I mean, even in the first half, we had a few chances where, you know, Joseph had a couple of good shots that were saved by Bill Hamid. But, you know, I'm like you, Mike. The way that Hamid always plays against us, you thought, oh, no, is it going to be one of those days? Particularly when we didn't get the penalty. But it was, yeah, great credit to the team. They just kept going, and, you know, in the end, it was fantastic. The atmosphere at the stadium at the end was just amazing.
It really was. It was a great showing for our Atlanta United. It's Darren Eels, guys, president of our club here on Dukes and Bell. I know different matchups, different teams present different, you know, lineup challenges. But I've liked our lineup the last couple of matches.
I got to be honest with you. And using
Gressel. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, Gressel on the wing on the right, yeah. Darren, that just seems to be the natural spot for him.
So how do you guys determine if you stay the course with this 11 or, you know, how do you decide those things, Darren, when things are going well?
Yeah, look, and part of it was, as you know, we only had three men standing to play at the back for the game against Houston, so we were pretty much forced into that formation. And, look, it really helped that early sending off, but you still have to beat a team when they're down to 10 men. So that was, you know, it was a great performance. So to get two wins in a week is, you know, it's just what you need at this time of the season. So that was great. I think, you know, the beauty now is as we get the players back, it gives us more options and we can sort of take each game as it comes in terms of what we think might be the best way to set up a team. But, you know, the good news is you see the training today and Ezekiel Barco, George Bello, they're coming back. You know, hopefully we're going to get Tito back sooner rather than later. So, you know, they're like new signings for us because it's been such a long time since we've had any of them play that, you know, it does bode well for this sort of second half of the season as we push towards the playoffs.
We're going to talk about the LAFC match coming up on Friday in a second as Darren joins us. Darren Eales brought to you by our buddies at Aaron's as we preview the Five Stripes. What about the unselfishness of Justin Merrim? Basically, in the interview, I saw some comments with Doug Robertson saying, put me anywhere in, coach. He's happy to be able to help.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's great. You know, it's the same with Julian. You know, they're players that are, you know, very versatile and will play wherever they're asked to play. And, you know, that was a great example on the game on the weekend because, you know, it isn't a position I don't think he's probably ever played before. But, you know, he did a great job there and that's what we need. You know, that's what, you know, what the team performance is all about. It's, you know, making those sacrifices for the greater good.
Darren, you look back, and I know we all do this throughout the course of a season, right? A point here, a point there, you know, a save here. Mike mentioned this, you know, we would arguably be the best team, or at least the top of the standings in the East. How do you rank them right now? I asked Jason Longshore this the other day. Where are we in the pecking order of things, knowing that I still don't feel like we played our best overall soccer, not having all of our guys available?
No, look, and I mean, it's really tight, isn't it? Because I think, you know, NYC are dangerous and they have got the games in hand. Philadelphia have done, you know, better than anyone expected and they still, you know, sticking up there. You know, DC are a talented side. You've got the Red Bulls. So it really is, it's quite a tight. Even New England are suddenly hit with Bruce Arena in charge there. They're on the longest winning streak in, or unbeaten streak in MLS. So it's become a tight division, but I do feel good about the fact that, you know, as the season's gone on, we've got better and we've still got, like I spoke about, those players to come back. So, you know, the exciting thing is, you know, if we won our game in hand, we'd be top of the East. And let's not forget, we've never won the East before in our existence. So, you know, it's quite a good position for us to be in at this stage. Now we've got to kick on and try and peak at the right time as we come into playoffs time.
You know, you talked about Barco and Bello and, you know, Escobar. I mean, the defense, you know, it's something that – it's funny, the comments of Joseph talking to a writer from The Athletic saying that, you know, we're really not a defensive team. Our style is kind of about offense and, you know, it's not about Tata versus DeBoer. But, I mean, are we – you know, what is our style right now, Darren, if you had to put your finger on it?
No, and I think that was an interesting quote because the writer didn't include what Joseph actually said, which was in the last 2 to 3 years, we're not a defensive team. He was merely making the point that there's an expectation always with Atlanta that we're going to be attacking. Now, that doesn't mean that you're always going to be able to score 70-plus goals because, you know, teams set themselves up differently against your champions, and so there's different nuances that you have to deal with. But I think, you know, we've seen it now with the 5 goals we got midweek, you know, the 2-0 win on the weekend, where we created a number of chances, we dominated that game. You know, that's what we want. You know, games like the game we had on the weekend where we're dominating the possession and we're creating chances. And I do think where, you know, Emerson Hyman's a good example of, you know, the movement, the spacing we had. I think you saw a little bit more of what we like to see from an Atlanta United team in terms of, you know, runs into the box. Even for the penalty, it was created by the space for Joseph, created by Emerson making that run into the box. Darlington running into the box to set up the first goal. That's what we want to see from our players. And obviously when we get a player back like Ezekiel Barco, who, you know, does that every time he gets the ball, that's where I think we're going to be going to get even better.
Yeah. By the way, Emerson, nice pickup. I really like what he's brought.
Gels, man. Really gels with the team.
I think so. It is Darren Eales here on Dukes and Bell. What do you think about LAFC? As we've been talking about the pecking order, I mean, this is going to be a tough task for us coming up.
Yeah, look, they've been fantastic this season. And, you know, it's tough to go into their building where they've been really good at home. But, you know, it's a good test for us at this stage. And to be honest, the great thing about it is winning 2 games in the East, you know, back-to-back, means that, you know, it is a Western Conference team. You obviously want to get the result there, but it's not the end of the world if we don't. But it'd be good measuring stick for us to see where we are against, you know, the team that's undoubtedly the playing the best football at the moment in the league. So, you know, I'm really pleased for them. You know, they've done really well as a new team coming in. It's what we want to see in the league, you know, the new teams coming in and raising the bar, and it's good for us to have that, you know, rival out there in the West that's, you know, doing well and gives us someone to try and aim for.
And there's just so many similarities as Darren joins us here. Darren Eales brought to you by Aaron's, because they're exciting. I mean, we're an exciting team. They're a relatively young team. We won the championship in the second year. I think a lot of people, you know, when Chivas went away and they put a second team back in L.A., a lot of people said, well, how's that going to succeed? And they've done a fantastic job.
No, they have, haven't they? I mean, it's a great stadium. They have a good atmosphere at their games. They've got a good team. You know, they did go with players like Rossi, exciting young talent as well, which, again, I think is good for the league. You know, they've got Carlos Vela, who's just playing lights out this season. You know, they also managed to get him not to go to Mexico. You know, he decided to not play for his country in the Gold Cup. So, you know, he's obviously committed to the city. But that's great when you get a player that's going to play every game during that season. So he's doing really well. You know, we know we're going to have our work cut out, but, you know, it's good for us to go out there and give ourselves a test. And, of course, you know, this is still, like I said, a regular season. And ultimately, in our league, it all comes down to what you do in the playoffs.
Darren, we don't spend a lot of time talking about the things that Atlanta United does in the community to affect our community, but stayed a little bit after the match on Sunday because I had some friends there, and it was their first experience there, and so we were talking, and next thing you know, Special Olympics is on the field, and, you know, I said Jason and Mike Conte stayed through their match and talked about it. And I just want to commend you guys for the work that you guys do and giving back to the community. It's something we don't talk a lot about, but I thought it was really cool for those kids and their parents and their family members to be able to experience that in Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, it was a brilliant occasion. I mean, it was so – we got the guys to, you know, both teams to walk out through the Delta Club onto the pitch. Obviously, we did the match on Facebook Live and, you know, streamed it. And our fans were unbelievable. We must have had 3,500 stay behind, you know, behind the goal that were cheering. And so that meant so much to, you know, the players on both teams, for them to be playing in such an atmosphere. And, you know, for me, that, you know, our fans have been just unbelievable, and I can't, you know, stop with the superlatives. But it's at moments like that that, you know, I really feel like, you know, we've created something special as a club, and I can't thank the fans enough, because, you know, that moment was something that, you know, for the kids, they'll always remember. And it was, you know, it made me proud to be an Atlanta United, you know, part of Atlanta United, because our supporters are just so wonderful.
It really was a great moment. Everybody was talking about it. We had a lot of people texting about it yesterday. How great, especially the website, and seeing the kids' profiles up there like they're just regular players in MLS. It just, everything was just perfect from top to bottom.
Yeah, it was good. And it was a great game. We went 3-2 up. We ended up losing. But like I said, it was, you know, there's just the fun around it. And, you know, we even had our players there from, you know, Brad Guzan, Julian Gressel, even Andrew Carlton was a ball boy. It was just great to see the team getting behind it. And, you know, that's ultimately what it's about. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, you guys do it for a living. We're in the industry. You sometimes think, you know, sport's more than life and death, but it isn't. It's fun. It's entertainment. And, you know, it's about community. It's about making an impact and having some fun along the way. And so I think it's moments like that that helps you get out of the bubble and makes you realize that, you know, this is what sport's about. It's about entertainment, fun, and trying to make a difference in the community.
Well said, Darren. Hey, by the way, you're going out to L.A.? You going to be out in Hollywood?
Yes, looking forward to getting out there. Should be a cracking game.
It should be. Good luck, my friend. Thanks for jumping on with us. As always, go Atlanta United. This is a big one this week, guys. That's Darren Eales, brought to you by Aaron's, as always, here on Dukes and Bell. And remember, when it comes to Aaron's, guys, brought to you by Aaron's, perfect for your budget and style with top-name brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances.
Hey, man, we got Mike Conte, in case you missed it. Mikey gets to go to Hollywood, too, with Jason for the call coming up on Friday. Today, guys, we're just back from Falcons camp. We got a chance to watch those guys in the rain. I saw you and him walking in the rain and fumbling. We'll talk about how the defense got the better of the O today, but Mike Conte's up next, in case you missed it.
Pretty busy.
So busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com.
Coming up, guys, top of the hour. Find out what Kirk Herbstreit said about Jake Fromm. It's on the way, but right now, it's time for In Case You Missed It with our man Mike Conti. What's going on, Mike?
Guys, you know what's 1 year from right now, 1 year from today.
The Olympics?
One year from today, yes.
Da-da, da,
I know you're excited. We're all excited.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yes.
So excited. Where's it at this year?
Tokyo.
Next year?
Tokyo?
It will be in Tokyo, Japan.
Yay!
And then
what do I win?
You win a Hey Man Ale. And then it's going to be in Paris and then L.A. in 9 years. But, you know, with the Olympics, 1 year from today, the organizing committee in Tokyo is starting to distribute tickets, basically. It's a lot like when it was here in Atlanta, where if you wanted tickets to certain events, you had to go to Home Depot and get, like, an application packet. And then you would be entered into a lottery, and if your number was pulled, you'd get tickets to whatever event you requested. So the organizing committee in Tokyo is starting to announce the lottery winners now. Do you know the number one most requested event for tickets at next year's Olympics? It's not the men's basketball final. It's not the 100-meter dash. It's not gymnastics or swimming or anything like that. Badminton. Badminton was the number one most requested event for people in Japan requesting tickets for next year's Olympics.
Is it a thing in Japan?
Craig's nodding. Craig okay. Carlos Valentino says it is a thing in Japan, and I will trust him. I don't know.
I've been to Japan. I did not see a lot of badminton nets around there, Carl. We were in Japan for the Falcons-Colts game at 05, but okay, already
there. Yeah, I honestly did not know that. I was going to say breakdancing. I had no idea. Right. I mean, they've added some of these sports.
I was going to say rhythmic gymnastics.
That were not sports before, but man, that's interesting, Conti.
Well, breakdancing is in the next Olympics. It's not in this one. It's in Paris in 2024. Rhythmic gymnastics.
I can't wait to see the shuttercock.
But you know, Mike, it's interesting you bring up rhythmic gymnastics. Less than 1% of those who applied for tickets to rhythmic gymnastics are actually getting those tickets out of the lottery, which is one of the lowest percentages out there.
Interesting.
So the top five most requested events, if you're wondering, like I said, badminton, number one, track and field, number two, then volleyball, table tennis, number four, and
that's
basketball.
For Asia, because Asia, right.
Makes up the top
right,
five.
Mike, because all the Asian countries will be the proximity to Tokyo. They want to see it.
I mean, that is possible. I don't know. I've never attended Olympic table tennis before. I know when they had it here, it was at the Georgia World Congress Center. And I think some of this has to do with the size and the capacity of the venues, because obviously the larger the venue, the more tickets. For example, 67% of those who applied for tickets to the road race cycling are going to get their tickets because obviously it's a big course and there's lots of seats. I think 88% of those who applied for sailing tickets. I don't really know where they put the seats on the sailing course since it's in the middle of an ocean usually. But anyhow, 1 year from today, the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan, and the way things are going for U.S. basketball with everyone dropping out of the World Cup, maybe next year the Dream Team could have some familiar faces from the Atlanta Hawks on that team. We know that Lloyd Pierce will be an assistant coach.
By the way, Zion, Mike, dropping out of Team USA. They had 10 spots for young college players and rookies, and for whatever reason, Zion bailing out of that.
Yeah, I'm guessing that Zion wants to focus on the upcoming NBA season. He did suffer a little bit of a minor injury at Summer League. I know there are a lot of Hawks fans out there that are saying, hey, you know, if all these guys like Zion are dropping out, Trae Young and John Collins want to play, add them. Let them play in this World Cup, which is coming up in a week or two, and then we'll see what happens next year with the Dream Team. But so far, they haven't taken that step.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd love to see our guys involved in some of this. But, you know, it is a grind. I mean, because if you start playing in these events, and again, it gets back to I want our country represented by the best players possible.
Right.
But when you start doing this stuff, Mike, you get no break. There is no layoff. There is no downtime. And then the season, you know, a guy like LeBron, I'll use as an example, this is not the norm. But, you know, he played in all this additional stuff And then he was going deep in the playoffs every year to the finals. There was really no off time. That's why I think, honestly, for the first time in his career, his body broke down last year, and we saw the injuries take place. Right. But I'm not mad at Zion for not playing.
And Colangelo, I think, who runs it, Mike, was saying that they just want to give Zion the that experience of playing with the U.S. men's national team, whatever that meant. But that's cool. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a time where he'll be repping the red, white, and blue.
Yeah, no problem with it. And he's got an obligation to the New Orleans Pelicans now, so it's understandable. But like I said, I think Marcus Smart even put out a tweet saying that he really wants to play for the U.S. men's national team. If guys want to play, let them play, especially if they're Trae Young and John Collins. I assume they want to play. They can help them out. Let them play. Let them have the experience. Now, we had another incident of violence on a domestic air flight. And the video of this one's crazy. American Airlines flight from Miami to L.A., and I guess this woman was sitting in the exit row. Her boyfriend sitting next to her was ogling someone on the plane. The girlfriend did not like it, started screaming at her. The flight attendants tried to move the boyfriend. And as the boyfriend was being moved, the girlfriend clobbered him over the head with a laptop. I would play you the audio of all of it, but there's a lot of naughty words and ethnic and racial slurs, so I'm not going to replay it for you. But you know, a study has been done recently about people acting not themselves on airplanes, not like themselves. And there's actually some science behind this. Apparently, your unusual and emotional behavior on an airplane is actually linked to a reduction in oxygen in our blood. Because, you know, when they pressurize the cabin, they pressurize it to whatever the equivalent of like 10,000 feet elevation is. So there's less oxygen in the air. And I guess the reduction of oxygen in our blood affects our decision making. And that's why when you watch a certain movie on your seat back TV, you might find yourself being a little bit more emotional than usual. If someone takes that extra pack of Biscoff cookies and you don't get any, that might explain why you get a little bit angry. And there is actually a scientific explanation, according to a recent study that was published in the Boston Globe, about why people act so funny on airplanes. So there you go.
They have a fear of the Olympics?
No. I don't know where that came from.
But you know what? It makes sense. It does. And I don't know. Have you ever felt like just normally, not on any medications, excuse me, no Ambien or anything like that, and you feel lightheaded on a flight? Has it ever happened to you?
Well, I mean, describe lightheaded. Usually, I mean, I'm grabbing those cocktails.
And and drinking
three or four of them.
That doesn't help you either.
You do get dehydrated, to Mike's point, on the plane. I also think, Mike, before even people step foot in the pressurized cabin, how many times do you see, especially for people who aren't regular business travelers, Mike, you see the stress right there at the TSA line where the husband looks at the wife, I told you not to pack that.
Yeah.
You know, and then next thing you know, you get the family's bickering. Some dad can't fold the kid's stroller. I mean, for some reason, the tension just gets ratcheted up right from the time you step on the curb.
Yeah, I think it's because people feel rushed, don't you? Like when you check in your bag and they tell you it's like 2 pounds over, people feel like they have to rush to take 2 pounds out of their bag because they're holding up the line. So I think that has something to do with it, too. Going through TSA is never a pleasant experience, even though the guards, they work very, very hard and they do the best they can. It's not a fun experience. It can be very, very invasive depending on what airport you're at. So, yeah, absolutely, people's emotions get heightened. But once you step inside, apparently that reduction in oxygen makes people act in very, very, very odd ways.
That is true. We've seen craziness on flights. I've said this before. It's Mike Conti, in case you missed it. The only thing is you just don't want anybody to screw up your flight, right? You don't want – it's the worst fear.
You and I look around there. Every time we fly, who's the jackleg who's going to be the problem?
To be on a flight and you're trying to observe people and go, please don't screw this up. Like, I'm trying to get to wherever I want to be on time. I don't want any delays, and I certainly don't want the plane turned around.
Right.
I mean, that's happened to me before where people have acted up on the plane. We've had to – turn around before we take off, go back to the gate. You know, police have to come on and take a guy off. And it was over a really stupid thing. He wasn't going to remove his headphones during the safety briefing, and the flight attendant got very, very upset by it. They had to turn the plane around, go back to the gate. We got in like 30 minutes late as a result. And then, of course, you have this guy. Just kind of the symbol for the worst in everyone's behavior with air travel because he was involuntarily bumped from a flight and – you know, they basically he made them drag he made the guards drag him off the plane, basically. So, yeah, I mean, air travel brings out the worst in us, but now there is a scientific explanation, and, you know, that's something we'll keep in mind the next time we're on airplanes.
It is Mike Conti, guys. In case you missed it, Dukes and Bell live in Buford. We are inside of Stars and Strikes. It is the Thirsty Turtle. Conti will be back in the 5 o'clock hour with another In Case You Missed It. But on the way, one of the best in the country speaking highly of Jake Fromm. Find out who we're talking about next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.